But we start here. The data is looking positive. COVID infections appear to be stabilizing, an indication that we are on a downward trend. Over the last week, there's been a 29% decrease in infections over the last 2 weeks. Infections have halved, according to some of the data. Test positivity rates is about 20%. That means for every 5 tests, 1 returns back positive. Hospitalizations have also decreased by 11%, and there's also been a 70% decrease in the number of COVID-related deaths, though mortalities do remain high. These are very optimistic numbers, but our level 3 lockdown is expected to continue for another, 18, 19 days till the 15th of February. Is it time for the president to consider reopening just a little? Industries reliant on tourism, food and beverage, they seem to have been shouldering the burden. Will waiting till mid-February be in the overall best interest of the economy? Professor Salim Abdul Karim is a scientific advisor, member of the Ministerial Advisory Committee, joins me now. The numbers, the data is looking very, very positive, Professor, in terms of coming down after the peak of the second wave of infections.
Yes, very good afternoon, Lester, and to all of the listeners. Yes, you're quite right. This is a very positive trend. It's very reassuring to see that now consistently over the last 14 days we've seen a decline. We seem to have hit a peak in the second wave, if you look at the 7-day moving average, at around close to 20,000 cases around the 8th of January. And since then, the numbers have come down quite sharply. This is a new virus, and it's the viral dynamics are different in the second wave than they were in the first wave, because the cases went up more rapidly, and it seems they're coming down more rapidly as well. So it still remains for us to see, how exactly it's coming down, and then be in a better position to judge. When can we be quite confident that now we are over the worst?
Just as we saw a South African who was second variant of the current, of the initial coronavirus, is there the possibility of going into a third, fourth wave with further variants of this particular virus, resulting in further harder lockdowns to contain those possible future variants?
It's difficult to tell at this stage exactly when and how, this is going to occur. Certainly what we do know from the way the virus behaves is that we can expect multiple waves to occur. And they seem to occur principally at two time points in the northern hemisphere and mirrored in what we see in the southern hemisphere, in that they seem to be a peak in the winter and there seems to be a peak in the summer. And we seem to be grappling with two peaks in a year. And if that continues, if that trend continues, we can expect that we will have another two peaks in the course of this coming year.
The wave that we're just seeing the back end of sort of started around the December holidays, the festive season. South Africans, those who can get back to work, are getting back to work in this particular period. The next time where we see a large in-migration of movement in South Africa is around the Easter period. Is it too early to maybe have that conversation of maybe forewarning people, look, we could see a further growth or escalation in cases over the Easter period, so therefore we put you on warning now that we may see some sort of restriction of movement, of trade, of economy sometime around April, May?
That's a very good point, Lester, and I think you have a good sense of, what the big challenges are going to be, and certainly movement is a big issue. I think at this stage, I'm learning that every time I think I know something about this virus, I learn that actually I don't know anything about this virus. It seems to change in that kind of way. I had thought that we would only be in our second wave in the beginning of January, but I didn't anticipate that we would have youngsters have all these parties, and that in the midst of all of that, we would have a new, faster transmitted variant. So things are changing all the time. There's a level of uncertainty and unpredictability. Based on what we do know, let's just, you know, hope that things don't change too much. I think we would probably be seeing a third wave or a new increase in cases, probably closer to the June-July period than would be the case in the March-April period.
Professor Salim Abdulkarim, member of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19, thanks so much for joining us. Richard Callan's been listening in, political analyst. There is a lot of economic, political pressure. I know that the Western Cape Premier Alan Windey has asked for a meeting with the President, asking for the relaxation on the curbs of, for example, beaches. That would then allow for some tourist trade to happen. We know that the restaurant, hospitality, beverage industry has been saying that they only have probably about a week left to survive. Surely there has to be a call or some sort of announcement whether or not the President's going to call time on this current lockdown before the 15th of February or see this current lockdown period till its end.
Yes, Lester, and there's legal pressure as well. You mentioned South Africa, or the brewery industry. South African Breweries, of course, have brought a big case claiming that the current regulatory regime is unconstitutional. It limits freedoms to trade to too great an extent. I think Premier Windey's statement yesterday, apart from anything else, I thought it was well composed, sober, measured, unlike some of his colleagues in the leadership of the DA. But as Premier, I think he really is grappling with the dilemma that governments throughout the world are once again grappling with, deja vu from last year, which is how do you strike the right balance between the economy and the need to protect jobs and livelihoods on the one hand with the, in my view, primary responsibility of government, which is to protect lives and health on the other hand. And that's a very delicate balance. And no one, and I want to emphasize this point, Lester, in my view, as a governance challenge, this is a classic wicked problem. That is to say, there is no perfect solution. There is only a series of imperfect solutions. And those people who criticize government perhaps lose sight of that fact. I think there is time. I think there is a strong case made by the Premier yesterday for an adjustment now. Part of being a good government in this very difficult circumstances is to be responsive, to respond quickly when the facts change, when the evidence on the ground changes. And if Dr. Salim is right, and I'm sure he is, that the trajectory is coming down sharper than expected in a positive direction, then the government needs to recognize that and respond appropriately.
We have seen, though, ministers with a great sense of bravado, almost hubris about almost taking advantage of this period. I can almost, you know, call out Becky Kele saying that this is the law for now and we'll stick to it. So any idea or any optics that government appears to be flip-flopping, as you're saying, being responsive would be the more responsible thing to say. But is there also this risk then or challenge for particularly ministers to almost admit, okay, we are changing the rules now and we admit we are being responsive instead of seeing this bravado, this hubris that we saw, you know, when these regulations are announced?
Well, I think you have to distinguish, Lester, between flip-flopping, such as, for example, what happened in this country with the last-minute decision relating to schools, I think it was last September, and the flip-flopping we've seen in countries like Britain, where the Johnson government has changed its mind numerous times. It sent school kids back to school for one day and then changed its mind. So we haven't seen that here. And I'm asking you to distinguish between flip-flopping of that sort, which is very destructive and harmful, with shifting policy positions when the evidence on the ground changes in a measured fashion. So I don't think that anybody suggests the government should be rushing today to change the regulations, but what they should be doing is listening to a premier like the Western Cape Premier when he presents the case so, I think, carefully and well in that statement yesterday, that there are tweaks that could be made to the regulatory environment now, which would be good for tourism, which would be good for the wine industry, which would be good for the beverage industry, and in particular for restaurants. And whether it's in this province or across the country, I think the government needs to be flexible, it needs to be adaptive, and it needs to be responsive.
Richard Callan, political analyst, thank you so much for joining us on the Midday Report.